Good morning, everybody, and glad everyone is here today. God has words that he wants us all to hear, right? If you've been paying attention recently in the message that God is teaching us in the sermons every week and in the Sunday school lessons, God is serious. And I sometimes think we forget to take God as being serious, and we're not serious about God. Lloyd's been challenging us recently to present God as holy. If you were here this morning for Sunday school, you heard of a lesson in Daniel, and that Daniel followed in God's ways instead of the ways of the world. And Daniel was serious because he knew God was serious about who he is. And Daniel did what he did to present God as a holy God. And that we who are children of God are separated from this world, and we're to live according to God's word and God's ways and not the ways of this world, much like Daniel did. Daniel didn't partake of the meat that was sacrificed to foreign gods because it was unclean and it was defiled as declared by God. And Daniel chose to remain faithful to God's word and to God's ways. So I want to start this morning in Leviticus chapter 19. And this is God speaking to the tribe of Israel and Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for the Lord your God am holy.'" Do we, in our daily lives, reflect and show God as holy? We are commanded to be holy just as God is holy. We are to present the holiness of God to the world through the lives that we lead, in our actions, our deeds, and even in our thoughts, as Tanya had mentioned, right? Are our ways the ways of God? Or do we allow ourselves to be deceived by our own hearts and our own flesh, to be deceived by this world and what the world considers to be right and good? Only God has the authority to declare what is right and good. No one else, no man, has that stance. For God alone is sanctious in his purity and his holiness. Well, then how are we to be holy as God is holy? Right? As children of God, this is obviously because of the Holy Spirit. That God's Spirit resides within his children, and he resides within us. And just as he is holy, we too are holy because he has made us holy. "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." Here in just these couple of verses, right, we see some of what may be recognized as some of the Ten Commandments, right? God expects us, if we are living a life that is holy in accordance to how he is holy, that we do these such things as keeping reverence for your mother and your father, keeping the Sabbath as God commands it. God is serious about his word, and he's serious about his commandments. Do not turn to idols or make for yourself molten gods. I am Lord your God. Idols are everywhere in this world today, right? We allow other things to become more important than God. We make excuses as to, well, this is something I need to do for work, right? This is to further my career. This is to make a better life, to make a better job. I even once knew an individual who said, his excuse for everything that he did was, well, God would want me to provide for my family. Well, what kind of provision, though? I think God would rather you provide to teach your children who he is, and to fear him, and to show and present him as holy to your family as the man. Not to cheat and swindle and connive and plan for ways that made more money. And this individual I knew was one of those types of people who was constantly scheming to make more money. Was it, I'm constantly searching for another job, or he was out looking for ways to get rich quick, right? Cryptocurrency was a big thing for him, and he ended up losing a lot of money as crypto fell over last year. And now, having recently talked to him, he was looking for another job opportunities and trying to work multiple jobs and also trying to figure out how he could take the money he had, invest it, make it, and do other things for him. All because he felt like he was to provide for his family. Instead of allowing God to provide for the needs of him and his household, and then doing as he's called to do, and as a self-professed child of God he is, saying that, I got to take care of things, you're not putting your faith and your trust in God. Not presenting God to your family as holy. Presenting to your family that the needs of the world and the world dictates how you're to act is more important. That's not what God says for us to do. So I want to take a look at the heart of our lesson today, which is in Ezekiel chapter 20. I think we all need, when I read this cut me really hard. And I think it's a very good lesson. And we all need to remember that God is holy, and we just don't get to come to God willy-nilly. That often, right, we look in society, God is presented as some big genie in the sky, that if you just pray hard enough, or you believe hard enough, or you give enough money, or you go volunteer at the food bank, and I'm saying there's wrong with anything volunteering, right? It's a matter of the issue of the heart with God. But if you go do those things, God will bless you, is what the world tells us. It's not what God tells us in his word. We do not get to just come before God and make deals and bargains with God. Reading through this, I remembered a movie from like 70s and 80s. I don't know if I may be dating myself here a little bit, right? The George Burns movies, right? Oh God, right? And in the first movie, he was basically this guy who bargained with God to be a rock star. And that he ended up losing his family in the process, and his child almost died. No truth in that movie whatsoever. We don't get to make the deals and bargains of our choosing with God. How arrogant is that, to think that I can offer God anything in recompense to get something back from him? Well, this is a lesson that God taught the Israelites. And as we heard in our spiritual food for thought, right, we're going through in Sunday school and we're learning of the ups and the downs of the people of Israel. And God used the tribe of Israel to show us our true nature. We are rebellious at heart. We are always wanting to serve our own desires, our own needs, in our own flesh, instead of serving and seeking the ways of God. And there are consequences to a life where you continually ignore the ways of God and seek your own ways. Now, as a child of God, right, his ways should be your ways, and you should strive to seek God. Now, that's not to say sin doesn't interrupt our lives and get in the way of the things that we do, and it can interrupt that fellowship that we have with God, but don't allow it to be the way you live your life. Because when you turn to God, God may not listen. It is arrogance that says that I can walk in a life of sin and defile and profane God's word and God himself, and then turn to him and demand something from him. I have no right to do that. Looking in chapter 20 here, starting in verse 1, now in the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth of the month, certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, do you come to inquire of me? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. That's not the God that this world presents. God declares that he isn't going to listen to them. And as we see, God will, through Ezekiel here, speak of the history of Israel and show us that when our sin defiles the very nature of who we are, and that sin comes between us and God, God is holy. God cannot coexist with sin in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And that is what exactly is going on here with the Israelites, right? Will you judge them? Will you judge them, son of man, speaking to Ezekiel? Make them know the abominations of their fathers and say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and swore to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, when I swore to them saying, I am the Lord your God, on that day I swore to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had selected for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. I said to them, cast away each of you the detestable things of his eyes, the desires of the flesh, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and were not willing to listen to me. They did not cast away the detestable things of their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. God chooses to do what God does, first and foremost, because he's sovereign. But God also chooses to do what he does to present himself as holy. God declared that he was going to use the nation of Israel to show the world who he is and to show them of his holiness and righteousness. Now, out of that holiness and righteousness comes God's love, comes God's grace that he showed the world through his Son, Jesus Christ, and comes the mercy that he shows each and every one of us in our lives. Do not take for granted God's grace and God's mercy. Do not take for granted God's righteousness and God's holiness. Then continuing on, then I resolved to pour out my wrath on them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them and bring them out of Egypt. So I took them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. I gave them my statutes and informed them of my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. And also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Do you see this day that we come to worship God as his Sabbath, right? Given to you that you may sanctify, be sanctified by God. Or have you come here today to hear of God's word? Have you come here today to worship God in truth and spirit? It's important to remember that God, even through Jesus, told us, right, that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. God knows what is right. God does everything through his holiness, which leads to his love. And he gave us this day as an opportunity to worship him and to come before him and give him the praise and worship that he alone is due. This is also, again, as a day of rest to reflect upon God, to set aside the things of the world, to set aside all of our other thoughts and everything else that goes on for Him. We need that reflection and we need that time to remember who God is. It's good for us. And he continues on, but the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes, and they rejected my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. My Sabbaths they greatly profaned. What's the definition of the word profane? Well, it's the exact opposite or an antonym of sanctify. Profane, as it says, is to misuse anything that should be held in reverence or respect. Employ basely or unworthily. Defile, debase. To treat anything sacred with irreverence or contempt. Violate the sanctity of. Do we profane the ordinances and the commandments of God? Do we allow ourselves to live a life that shows the sanctification or being separated and set apart and made holy by God? Or do we allow our lives to show profanity of God's word and of God's holiness? As children of God, we need to check ourselves daily. Start your day before God. Pray that God shows you of his ways. Pray that God teaches you in his word of who he is and who you are called to be. Pray for strength. Put on that armor of God each and every day. And prayer is not just something we do once a day. Get up, say it, or when we go to bed, say our prayers as we teach our children, right? You are to be in an attitude of prayer throughout the entire day. Now, I often will admit, I'm not myself. Right? I allow life to get in the way of things and allow the world to dictate my actions. By having that attitude of prayer, what it's really talking about is living your life in such a way that your focus is always on God. And it's something I'm struggling to, and I'm trying to, much as she said, right, the thoughts. Do I go and make a decision based on what is holy and righteous and of God, or do I make a decision based on my own desires? By having that attitude of prayer throughout the entire day, I am allowing myself to think and dwell upon God's will and not my own will. I am not profaning this life that God has given me. I'm allowing God to further sanctify me and prepare me when I stand before him. And I'm going to skip over to, and he continues on and basically talks about, again, in the wilderness, then afterwards, and when they come into the land. It's this constant thing, because the people of Israel were not able to keep God's commandments, because they're our example of our true nature, and they always fell back into their true nature. But in verse 27, therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me by acting treacherously against me. Very strong words, blasphemed and treachery. Do we often see our own sin as a blasphemy to God or a treachery to God? It's just a little white lie, right? It didn't hurt anybody. We often forget that when we sin, who do we sin against? Do I sin against someone else when I tell that little white lie? Ultimately, I'm sinning against God. And reflecting on how my actions, how do they reflect God? If I go around and profess myself to be a child of God, but my actions are contrary to God, that's a blasphemy and a treachery to God. When I had brought them into the land which I swore to give them, then they saw everything, high hill, every leaf, every tree. They offered their sacrifices and there presented the provocation of their offerings to these other false gods. There they also made their soothing aroma, and there they poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is that high place to which you go? So its name is called Bama to this day. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, will you defile yourselves after the manner of your fathers and play the harlot after their detestable things? When you offer your gifts, when you cause your sons to pass through the fire, you are defiling yourselves with all your idols to this day. And I shall be, and shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, declares the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. When we allow sin to defile our lives and to defile our relationship with God, how dare we expect God to even listen to us? This is why repentance is such an important part of who we are as children of God. We cannot live in sin and walk in a sinful life and expect fellowship with God. We are to confess our sins before God. And right, as Lloyd's often saying, it's not that I told a lie, it's I'm a liar. God, I am a liar. I lie, I cheat, I steal, I'm an adulterer. Whatever the sin is, we are to confess before God and recognize it for what it is, as sin. And to repent. And repentance is that changing of the heart, the changing of the mind. As children of God, when sin interrupts us, we recognize it for what it is. We call it what it is. We declare it before God what it is. And we endeavor to repent of it. As we had recently learned, I cannot repent of sin in the flesh. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit and only through a new life am I capable of even repenting. But as a child of God, when I am repenting, I'm to call upon the name of the Lord and to be truthful and honest. God, this is something I'm struggling with. I've got to try to fight this knowing that I can't do it on my own, but I need you. I need your strength. And I need to be patient and know that things are in your time, not in my time. Right? Even Paul had something he struggled with, right? His thorn in his side that continued to interrupt him. God, Paul even told us, uses these as opportunities to A, teach us, right? God doesn't cause us to sin. God has no part of sin. But that doesn't mean God doesn't use that to teach us. That it keeps us humble, right? Because you see these so-called Christians out there, right, in the air quotes, they go around proclaiming how good of a Christian they are, and my sin doesn't stink and yours does. There's no truth in that. All sin is affront to God, great or small. And this is why we're not to judge sin of the world, right? Only God has the right to judge sin, and the Holy Spirit only has the right to convict men of their sin. But all sin is an affront to God, be it that little white lie or be it murder. But we like to put things in different buckets, right? What's the worst sin ever possible imaginable, right? And that definition always changes over time. It used to be pregnancy out of wedlock back in the day, or drunkenness. Today, churches are rallying against homosexuality and trans rights, or definitions of what they call rights. But even then, we're starting to see the church split over that. And when I say the church, again, the church of the world. It's all the same to God. It's all an affront to God. And we need to be careful that we do not allow that sin to interrupt our relationship and continue to interrupt our relationship to where we have turned our back to God. Because you may very well find out God has turned his back to you. Now, God is gracious, God is merciful, and God is loving. And God has provided us a way to turn away from that sin. And again, as children of God, only you have that power. And I don't think we recognize that for what it is, a power to turn from sin, the power to repent. Do we just do the poor, pitiful me, I just can't help myself, I lie all the time? Or do you turn to God and recognizing that God has that power and has put that power in you to turn from that sin? All right. We're out of time. I want to flip over to Romans 12 real quick. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. How do you present God as holy? It's right here. Present yourself, your body, as a living and holy sacrifice. Present God as being holy in all that you are, say, think, and do. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a daily process. Being renewed and refreshed by the Spirit of God each and every day. And knowing and recognizing that only God has that power to refresh and renew you. But be transformed by renewing your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I urge each and every one of you, examine yourself before God each and every day. All of us need to remember God is holy and understand what that holiness truly means. It's hard for us to define that true holiness of God, right? Because it's beyond our comprehension. But God teaches us of his ways and his holiness. And I urge you to listen when God is speaking to you and be holy as he is holy.